This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the absolutely gorgeous Bird on a Bike.
Me.
It's her. It is, in fact, her.
It is me.
I've got an email here. Stand out and scale up. It's the Grow Conference in Ashford. Wouldn't life be easier if you could generate predictable, reliable income in less time with less stress? Are you always learning, always improving? Are you that kind of person? One of the best ways is attending a conference, because you know that you're going to meet businesses just like you, businesses that know how important it is to break out of old ways of thinking, who want to meet other business leaders like you, who love to get great results, businesses like you to network and collaborate with. The expertise and knowledge of our 5 speakers will give you the inspiration to take action. And this event is taking place on Wednesday, the 20th of November, between 8:30 and 1 p.m. at the Ashford International Hotel. And it's a measly £47 plus VAT. And that includes refreshments and a conference guide. If you want to find out more about Grow Ashford, go to
growkent.co.uk.
Bird.
Interesting. I've just had loads of... I want to go back into Twitter, really. Just to follow up from Martin. At Romney Resource Centre. I think it is Romney who said this. This is fantastic. Was it? No. I'll tell you who it was.
Spit it out.
It's Tracy. Tracy Ferguson, because she was following up with Marie Forleo. She's put, what a beautiful story about date night. There is a fantastic Marie Forleo interview with a lovely lady called Bronnie Ware. And she wrote a book called The Last Regrets of the Dying. Actually, it's the 5 Last Regrets of the Dying, which she consequently read. And she was at the end of life nurse for many years, really thought-provoking. Actually, Bronnie Ware was an Australian nurse who was a hospice nurse and saw a trend that at the end of life, each patient would say one of these 5 regrets that they had. And she wrote a book about it. And it is beautifully, beautifully written. Right. So, and it's not, and this is what I really want to put over, Martin, and you probably have this as well. It's not sad, is it, at this point? And you've just showed us actually what happens when we hear about death is we start to live a little bit more as well. So
it's the acceptance.
Yeah.
That's the important thing.
Yeah. So this book isn't a sad book. It's actually going, wow, if anything, it's inspirational for us to start living now rather than putting off what we think, oh, well, I wait until I retire, or I wait until this happens, or I wait until I've got enough money, or you don't need to do that at all. And I think that's the gift that they give us at hospice.
I agree, thank you.
Yeah, pleasure.
Absolutely. We're going bananas on Twitter.
I know, that's
I've not even
saying.
Got round to my emails.
That's
I just got
saying.
Another tweet. This is a lovely one. It's from Kent County Fudge. Fudge Kent is their Twitter handle, and it says, Vanilla Web, this is our very first day on Twitter and our very first day listening to the Business Bunker show, and we're enjoying it. It's exciting to be starting a new business and learning as we go. Can I get a shout out for partners Dan Gleebles and Lou Sanius, who are at present packing fudge?
I love this. Now, I know you were waiting for me to do a joke and everything. I'm not going to do a joke at all.
Oh, you're not?
No. I think when people don't forget this moment of starting a new business and remember that when it gets so awful and you feel like you're trudging through mud and treacle and it hurts, and then you think you fall face flat in it
as well.
They
literally are trudging
treacle. Exactly. But I really think it's an exciting time for them. And remember this exciting time and journal it or video it or do something to record it, because it will get tough. It might have already been tough.
Yep.
And we're here to support. I think that's the biggest thing. That's what we love talking about, what we do.
Yeah. So welcome to Twitter.
Yeah.
We'll all give you a follow.
Welcome.
We'll all give you a follow. And welcome to the world of small business.
Yeah.
And have fun.
And what do you want to hear from us? That's the in thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's the point.
What do you want to hear from us as a new business? Mm. What is it that you're struggling with? You've got absolute experts around the table here, except me and Paul. What do you want to know from us?
No pressure.
I took us out of it.
Sure. I saw that. Well done, Bert.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a nice one. That's deflection, that's called.
Thank you.
Hashtag scared.
Yeah. I've got a tweet from Steve Scientific Sources. Yeah.
We haven't heard from him for ages.
No, we haven't. Dr. Steve Trim, he runs Venom Tech, which is the...
The spiders.
The drug research company. But he also got a sideline, he has, and he's telling me about his sideline. He's gone, for Halloween, why not spice up your spooky supper or challenge your friends with Steve's scientific sauce, available to buy online at the Spider Shop, thespidershop.co.uk, and it's chili sauce. It's chili venom sauce. It's gorgeous. Steve gave me a bottle of it. I put it all over my pizza and it's absolutely knockout. Yeah.
I've got no words.
Why? It's not like you.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Nothing to say.
Thespidershop.co.uk. Get there.
Awesome. I want to go back again to Martin because there's just, Martin, you've got a fan club going on here, love. Yeah. I'll tell you. It's GP Race Simulation and they said they love hearing from Martin. They spent my years at junior school in Stroud raising money for the hospice. And then in 1986, my granddad spent his last weeks there and remarried my grandma there. And it was a very special and emotional moment. So thanks.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Tracy Ferguson has also tweeted about, can we have a Business Monkey shout out, please, for the Folkestone Careers Fair next week, sponsored by Jobs in Kent, in partnership with Romney Resource Centre, supported by Claire from Job Centre Plus in Kent, in Folkestone. There's job opportunities, there's apprenticeship, there's training support, and there's many workshops all going on, all totally free. Doors open at 10 o'clock, Wednesday the 23rd of October, 10:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Grand Hotel in Folkestone.
That's just up from you, Cathy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. There's 22 employers there so far, and there'll be a few more by the time we get to the day.
Nice.
Good stuff.
I would like pop in and say hello, you know.
Yeah, why not?
It's over the road from me.
Yeah.
Oh, but it is.
I know it is.
I can't do it in the day, though, in the middle of the day, because of my show. But I can do it at the end of it.
Did you see what she did there?
When's your show?
Yeah.
It's on a Wednesday. It's on a Wednesday. 1, 2, 2.
Who knew?
And I know, right? And I also know who I got on then as well, Deborah Tullalay.
Right.
Yeah, she's really interesting, I tell you. They all are. Anyway, carry on.
Did you see the gift from Diamond Circle Weddings?
About me writing.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's a gift. Paul, writing is the hardest thing ever.
It really, really... Well, some people don't find it is. Some people, like I said, they've got a conduit up to heaven and they just write. I'm not plugged in that way.
I'm trying to catch up with all these, but I've got an email here from the lovely Natalie Benaig. And Natalie says, I'm exhibiting some of my paintings during the artists' open houses in Faversham during the three weekends of October, alongside my friends Max Kimber, Joan McCarroll, and Griselda Muzzett. We're open from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. and then on the 19th, 20th, 26th, and 27th of October, we're in 92 Abbey Street, Faversham. Visit the East Kent Artists Open Houses, and there's a website where you can see all about this, which is ekoh.org.uk/Faversham. And you can find out all about the artists that are exhibiting in Faversham, and that's from the lovely Natalie Benaig.
Do you want me to do an email?
Yeah.
I know. The full report and video from the University of Kent, KBS, Kent Business Summit 2019. There's coming up a new one. We've got to have one. Well, it's coming up January, isn't it? 2020. Mm-hmm. Are both now available to read and download on www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
What? Right. No, I'm trying to catch up. I got some.
Do you want me to keep going?
Keep going because it's all going off here.
You just sit there and look beautiful and I'll carry on. Join us for the
camera. Do you know what? It's not easy looking as good looking as this. I tell you, I have to work at this.
Join us for Camera Trust, James Bond-themed fireworks spectacular. I wonder what that... Do you all dress up? Do you dress up?
As James Bond?
Yes. Oi.
Hello. Point of finger.
This is all about you.
Go on.
Kenwood Trust. It says James Bond-themed fireworks spectacular. Do you want us to dress up?
Yeah. Of course.
You don't know.
Yeah,
Of
course I want you to dress up.
What, in our wellies and then glitter and everything?
No, I thought you were just going to get painted gold or something.
Oh, my
days.
Yeah.
Featuring a performance from Marylebone Jelly is an event not to be missed. This is Thursday, the 7th of November, and the gates open. I thought it was a really good thing that you said last week, actually, Paul. The gates open at 4:30.
Yeah.
And it's until 8:30 at night. But the fireworks start at 7:30. So here's a bit of practicality for you. If you've got young ones...
Hmm.
It's a long time in the mud.
It is. It is. There is other activities going on, but don't get there too early if you've got kiddies because they get tired.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is.
And so do I. I had a tantrum last year.
So this is at Kenwood Place and this is at Yalding. And you need to book here. It's www. Eventbrite.co.uk. And it's got the annual fireworks spectacular tickets. Go and check it out.
Yeah. Do check out our website. I'm a trustee of Kenwood Trust. Do check out our website. There's lots of activities going on it, and we need your money. As somebody,
Martin, can I ask you, do you ever find that people get fed up with you?
Yeah,
and you know what I mean.
Yeah. I think she's trying to tell you something, Martin.
You asked me a question earlier on, Bird, about what do we need? We need £2,500 a day.
Yeah.
But what I don't want to do is frighten anybody when they see me coming down the street, cross the road.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's always at their level.
Yeah.
What do they want to do for us and what's comfortable for them?
And I suppose people can give you their time.
Absolutely.
It doesn't necessarily have to be their money because it will end up with money at the end because that's what we want.
So last year we had 18,000 hours of volunteer hours helping out in the gardens, all kinds of different things they did for us. And one thing with my business, I didn't never give money to charity, but I gave what I did. I had a coach.
Mm.
Gave them a coach for a day.
Yeah.
That's what people do for us.
Yeah.
So it's at your level. That's the important
thing.
Do
you ever go over budget?
Spend more than we got.
No. Do you ever get more than what you've been budgeted for? I've got too much money now.
I'm very pleased to say last year we did, yes. Because one of the income streams is gifts in wills. You never know what's coming in. We had a bumper year last year and we increased our grant to the hospice by 12%.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Got the money that we know where it's going. It's going to one place only for the hospice.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I don't know if you read that. Did you read this tweet from Telcare?
No.
Telcare said, Bird on the Bike, Vanilla Web, we love the Wisdom Hospice. Enjoy supporting them. They do a great job.
Lisa and Dave are amazing. They sponsor our quizzes every year. So thank you very much to Telcare.
Yeah, fantastic. So Lisa and Dave Suttle. Nice one. Cool.
Venom Tech have said to me, they've put thanks Vanilla Web, Bird on the Bike for the fab shout out of our source. And on your fab radio show, enjoying the banter as always. Bert and Ernie are on form today, I'll tell you.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Help us bridge the gap between schools and business. In Kent, we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through a programme called Skills 3030. It's a two-hour event. Businesses hear from a local authority, an apprenticeship organisation, relevant recruitment groups or things that are important to business, while students take part in an employment-related workshop. Then both groups get together for facilitated speed networking. It's a great thing. We've been running this. I do it in conjunction with the Federation of Small Business. We've been doing it 3 years now. 1,200 students in Kent and Medway have been through the programme already. It's entirely free. It is totally free to everybody, to schools, to businesses. It's totally free. It's a fantastic way of engaging with the workforce of the future whilst also giving some input into the education sector about what you want as businesses. We started this because so many businesses moaned that schools didn't train our young people in the things that they wanted. And we said, well, how would they know what you wanted if you don't tell them? That's what the whole thing's about. The next event that we've got is on the 20th of November at the Longfield Academy in Dartford. But there are other events scheduled after that for schools all around the county. If you are a teacher, a parent, a governor at a school, and you would like us to run this event in your school, as I said, it's totally free. Not only that, it ticks your entire year's Gatsby requirement in one go. So it's a real benefit. If you run a school and you want it, get in touch with us. But if you want to find out about joining us, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30.
Leeds Castle Classical Concert shortlisted for the NOEA Award. The shortlist has been announced for the National Outdoor Events Association, and that's Awards 2019. And they're thrilled that Leeds Castle Classical Concert has been shortlisted for the Large Festival of the Year Award. Also, the first concert took place in 1978. We weren't even born then, Nettie.
No.
Yeah, that's got your eyes. And look at your forehead now.
Weren't born then. Get out of it.
And it's grown to be the highlight of Kent's social party calendar. So people in their thousands, stop it. All I can see is him across in my eye line. much better this
We're
way.
We're much younger on radio, that's what I think.
Anyway,
yeah.
People in their thousands have attended the stunning setting of Leeds Castle across the last 41 years to be entertained by this amazing open-air musical delight, offering a mix of much-loved classical favourites along with the exclusive performances of popular favourites. This year's sponsor was Braces, a leading law firm in Kent, who returned as headline sponsor of the event for the third year running. So next year's event takes place, get ready to put this on, I'm not there, Saturday the 11th of July 2020. So you need to go to www.leedcastleconcert.co.uk. Go and check it out.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. There's a new networking group starting up. It's called the Grapevine Network. And it's an exciting, dedicated property and home everything kind of. So everything to do with the home, with properties, with design, with furniture, all that kind of stuff. And it's been held once a month from October. The first ones are free as well. We'd like each guest, where possible, to bring one other from a property related business as to the meeting. It's taking place this Thursday, the 17th of October, at 5:30 until 7:30 at the Marine Hotel in Whitstable. That's Marine Parry Whitstable. It starts at 7:30. There's a welcome from Beth Rossiter, who's the director of Mirage Designs, who's the organiser of the event. And then there's a guest speaker, and then there's open networking, and it's held in a bar, so they'll be drinking and stuff like that, and frolicking and all kinds, weren't they? If you want to find out about it and book your place on the Grapevine Network, eventbrite.co.uk/Whitstable Grapevine Network. It's this Thursday, 5:30. Go along. It's at the Marine Hotel, Whitstable.
Nice. Cool, we're flying now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, increase sales, drive brand awareness, and learn how to become a thought leader in these intensive LinkedIn workshops with Jade Pluck. This is on the 17th of October. That's quite close, isn't it?
Thursday.
Thank you. The 17th of October, and that's www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/category, and then go into business events. It's at the Copthorne at Gatwick.
Absolutely. Braving the weather for a good cause, Big Litter 2019. Despite the predicted rain and light winds, scout groups from all over Kent are taking part in the Kent Scouts Big Litter Picnic around their local area. Look out for them during October on beaches, in parks, at recreation grounds and other public places. They can't promise to get to every public site, but they want to make the biggest difference they can. After litter picking... This isn't easy to say. After litter picking...
I can't wait to say bobber job.
Yeah, yeah. The volunteers will be having a celebration picnic as a reward, but be assured they will be sure to tidy up after themselves. The Scouts haven't done bobber job for decades now, but they do want to have a community impact still. Optional donation buckets will be with each working party on the day for anyone who wishes to support developing young people through scouting. Or you could donate directly to Kent Scouts online via our local giving page, which is localgiving.org/charity/Kent Scouts.
It wasn't until we read that out a couple of weeks ago that I even knew that Bobber Job had finished. Uh-huh. And that was decades ago.
Is that because in... Hives, you didn't have Bobber Job.
I didn't really. None of my children.
They couldn't afford it.
Oh. No, none of my children did any of that scouts, guides thing. They were all sporty.
Mm.
So I didn't really get involved in brownies or guides or, you know, Bobber Jobby things or badges or anything. Thank the Lord, because I can't sew.
I did Bobber Job once. I was a cub and I went and cleared the whole guy's house, his garden. Yeah. Tied it all up for a whole day. What did he give me at the end of the day's work?
A bob.
A shilling. 5p.
Yeah. 11, a hard lesson to learn, that was.
Mm. Yeah. I was a scout. I was actually a Queen's Scout, of which I'm very proud. What's so funny about that? You're making
Explain
it up.
Explain Queen's Scout.
A Queen.
It doesn't need to. I think it's in the description of the words.
See, you two are being politically incorrect and unwoke.
I don't
you?
Think
yes,
we
you are.
We're
yes,
only
are.
Asking a question.
Yeah, yeah. A Queen's Scout Award is someone that has every badge, and then you have to do a special. It's the equivalent of the Duke of Edinburgh Gold Award, basically.
Okay, wow.
Basically, yeah.
So you were the best scout
ever.
I was the
in Kent.
I was Obergruppenführer of the famous Eagle Patrol. I have to tell you, yeah.
I don't even know where to go with this.
We were in the presence of such royalty.
No, seriously, I think Scouting, Guides, Brownies, all of those kind of, Boys Brigade, all of those kind of things are incredibly character forming.
I do.
And I once did, when I worked as a management consultant, I once did a survey and found that the vast majority of senior management people had at one point been members of one of those organisations.
That's an interesting...
They're great organisations for teaching leadership early and for learning lessons about not underselling yourself on Bobber Job Week.
Well, in community or belonging to something or having trust in somebody or something like that. So if you don't have sport, it's an alternative. Or you can have both, but, you know, usually the focus is...
Yeah. But I joined because you could legally carry weapons on the street. But
beautiful, good to know.
back in the day, the UK's very first Dansaki Afro-Caribbean restaurant will be opening in Elwick Place in Ashford.
Wow.
Yeah, bringing a new and exciting new food and drink concept to the town. In a joint announcement, Dansaki, Ashford Borough Council and Stanhope PLC confirmed that the company has chosen Ashford, one of the fastest growing towns in the southeast, to unveil its exciting new restaurant brand. Dansaki aims to serve an exquisite range of Afro-Caribbean and continental cuisine, creating a destination restaurant offering a fine dining experience in a cosy, welcoming atmosphere. Decor will feature a bright African colours and amazing tribal patterns and artwork on the walls. Looking forward to that. Yeah. Should be good. It's good to have something different opening.
I agree.
Mm. What you got?
You want me to carry on?
Yeah.
Holiday Inn.
Might as well.
Holiday Inn Express in Canterbury. Do you know what? They've had an 800,000 upgrade, Mr. Andrews.
800,000 what?
Upgrade.
Pounds.
Oh, pounds.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm helping him out.
Nice.
No, you're helping her out. She's the one that's reading
it. The Holiday Inn Express Canterbury has just completed the refurbishment of all its 89 guest rooms in the hotel at the cost of
£800,000. I was going to guess that.
How much?
I was thinking between £700,000 and £900,000. Yeah.
Would you think that would be right for 89 rooms refurbishment?
It's a lot of money per room, isn't it?
It's a lot of money per room. Mm. But then maybe the reception they did, and you know,
toilets. Yeah.
Exactly. Restaurant. All the work has been undertaken by using local work team, and to their credit, it was completed in 12 weeks on budget with no inconvenience to our hotel guests. The 89-room Holiday Inn Express Canterbury plays an important role in local tourism. With its 89 guest rooms, two meeting rooms, large dining area and lounge. There you go. That's where the money went.
Isn't that nice, though, that they're a local company and they use local tradespeople? Because you hear that so often where it goes to a contractor in Wales or something. Nothing wrong with Wales, but...
other countries are available.
And counties.
The hotel welcomes local visitors who wish to drop in for a meal in the evening, afternoon tea or a quiet drink. And the Wi-Fi is free. Yes, thank you. To use and bookings. Go on, Bob.
I've just got a weird tweet. I mean, Jules is off on a tangent. She's going on about...
She's going to see the physio.
She says, I polish my new husband's. Well, I've no idea what she's talking about.
Best not to ask.
But yeah, but she's not on the thing. But we've had a far more interesting tweet from Paul at Diamond Circle Weddings. He said, I was a chief scout and played bass drum in a local scout band. And also, someone sent us a gift. And it says, do you know 11 of the 12 people who have walked on the moon were scouts?
There you go.
Now, that's a great statistic, isn't it?
That really is taking Bobber Job to the ultimate, really,
isn't
it?
Is there a badge for moonwalking?
Of course there is.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You didn't get that one, did you? Yeah. So you're not a Queen Scout?
Not anymore. Because
you didn't get on the moon.
No.
Yeah.
It's true.
Moonwalking. He's the one, 11 out of 12. He's the one.
Anyway, I couldn't finish off where to get hold of Holiday Express.
This is not acceptable. Yeah.
Hold on a minute. I need to go back.
Hold on. Anyway, moonwalking. A moonwalking badge. What, you mean like Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Either. You still are 11 of the 12 that can do neither either.
Okay.
Anyway, I just want to go back because we just got a tweet that came in that was so urgent. The Wi-Fi is free here at Holiday Inn Express Canterbury with an upgrade of £800,000. You can email Trevor at leafhotels.co.uk. Love
Fantastic.
It.
Fantastic. Yeah. There's another new networking lunch in Sevenoaks, the VIP networker. Our passion and mission is to bring successful business owners and entrepreneurs to meet monthly to learn from our guest speaker, form business relationships and to recognise, create or act upon business opportunities, share information and seek potential partners for ventures. We invite you to join us each month in our own private dining room at Cote Brasserie, which offers a modern approach to classic French dishes from the heart of rural Brittany with a delicious changing menu which ensures something new for both regular and first-time attendees to devour. You will have the opportunity to showcase your business, learn from our guest speakers to grow your business, brainstorm ideas and make some great connections and build solid relationships. And the next event is on Thursday, October the 31st from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Cote Brasserie, Sevenoaks, 22 London Road. If you want to book your place, eventbrite.com/Sevenoaks VIP networking lunch.
Nice.
One more, and we're going to talk to Nettie and her guest.
Just to finish off the networking biddly biddly, Marsh Networking Over Coffee. This is on the 6th of November, and that's from 10 till 12 at Cinqport Arms, New Romney. And you need to go to www. And that's marshnetwork.co.uk.
And while you're there, you can also book your place on the Marsh Networking Breakfast. And the next one of those is the 24th of October at the Ship Inn in Dymchurch.
Terry, does he not give you breakfast at the 10 till 12?
No, that's coffee. You do breakfast first and then the coffee one.
It's almost
coffee
a day out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good.
Who knew?
Yeah. Anyway, it's about time we talked to Nettie as she turned up on time this time.
No, she didn't turn up on time.
She was early.
She was early because I was giving the guests the talk. And
about
she walked in
she
on
was,
the talk.
Yeah.
No, I didn't complain about Nettie.
Was me being late part of the agenda, Kathy? Did they say Nettie won't be here just yet?
I'm afraid so.
Yeah, see? Bullied.
Mm. Hi, Nettie.
Hi.
How was your holiday?
I had a lovely time, thank you.
Good.
Yeah.
Did you have a think wink? A think week like Bill Gates?
Do you know what? I do think when I'm not at work. That makes it sound like I don't think when I'm there.
No.
I do that as well. But
you can't be focused
but
on thinking.
But you do reflect, don't you? It's almost like something within you thinks, oh, I could do that, because you're out of that environment. When we were talking earlier, I actually like to work late because everyone's gone home.
Mm.
And I can actually sit and do so much more in an hour than I probably have achieved all day sometimes, because nobody's standing there going, Nettie, Nettie.
She makes all of her follow-up calls then.
What? When everyone's gone home.
I did call back, but you didn't answer.
Do people like to see you staying later?
I don't mind whether they do or not. I don't do it as a precedent.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should all stay because I'm here, and I don't do it every day. I'm not some sort of saint. But you do sit there sometimes, and when you're in the zone, you can carry on. And I think you do all need that think time.
Mm.
And it suits different people different ways. My colleague Chris is very much an early person. He likes to get in early, get his head down before anybody comes in. Not so keen on the mornings, personally, but I don't mind.
What
later
did you
in
think
the day.
In your week then?
I thought about various things that I've been thinking about at work that you can suddenly think, right, we could do it like this.
Can you give
reflect.
Us one? Was it highly confidential?
No, it's not. It's I was thinking about something that we're working on as a team, a little bit of how we're diversifying some stuff within the business development team and how I could change the roles slightly to sort of adapt to how that can work for us. And then I've chatted to Marie, my assistant, this morning about it. So, you know, there's different elements that you do because it's always in your subconscious. You think all the time. Don't you?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
I could have that sort of conversation.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, I know, because we have them.
We do.
Well, I tell you, it's a pleasure to welcome Saint Nettie of Riff.
Often called that, can't
yeah.
we?
Back onto the show, into the counting house.
Hello.
And Nettie always brings us interesting guests. So why don't you tell us who you've brought us this month?
Oh, gone a bit scary this month.
Have you?
Yeah.
She doesn't look scary.
She's not scary at all. I've brought Kathy Bear with me. Mm. Now, Kathy is, she does a role that I think is really interesting for so many businesses, but so many businesses I think it's not for them, don't think they can afford it, think they're not big enough, think whatever they think. Mm. So Kathy is a NED, a non-executive director, working with a number of companies, including us at Rift. So I've actually brought someone from the board with me, so be nice to me.
Right. You should have told us this beforehand, because we did a big number about how you're always late, we can never rely on you. Absolutely. We didn't realise she was...
She knows all that.
We didn't realise she was boss material. Yeah.
We met earlier.
We've already had a coffee today. I think it's interesting because it's something that sort of on a bit more of an ad hoc basis we do within Rift Accounting with clients. Mm. You know, when we've got clients that have got all sorts of things going on, they might just ring me up, we'll have a chat. And then we do have it as a little bit more of a formal arrangement with some of them, whereas Kathy's role is looking at all sorts of elements of business. And I think it's good to understand what a NED, if you want to call it, because that is what you're called, isn't it? You non-executive directors is your real titles, but you're NEDs, aren't you?
It is, but in a way I want to talk about it in such a way that it makes it relatable.
Yeah.
And really it's whatever shape you want that to be for your business and for you and your team.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. It's a fascinating. We were talking about this the other day, actually, about mentorship and getting an outside view on things. Mm. And a non-executive director is a formalised approach at that, really. Okay. So... Kathy, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about your background?
Sure.
Yeah, so that we can get a feel for that. And then we'll talk about your role as a non-executive director.
So my background is as an accountant, and I found that quite boring.
We agree on that, don't we, Kathy?
There's only one thing more boring than accountants, that's actuaries.
You're all so funny, but actually that's true. And so what I really found was it was just getting stuck into business and actually making it all tick. Mm. How does this work? Being curious, trying to solve problems and bring it alive. Mm. So, of course, once you are an accountant, you've got that as a background. It's your backbone or whatever you want to call it. But actually moving on and relating it, engineers must feel the same way. It's how do things work? And then you can apply it. So I suppose my background was that I came to Kent 20 years ago. I joined Holiday Extras when it was a relatively small business, turning over about 40 million. Had the benefit of very early on, as that business grew and grew, bringing non-execs into our board. So Jerry Pack was always very forward-thinking in that respect. And so I was there working with these amazing people with all this experience. Again, it's the same. It's really important that the person you choose to work with is someone that you get on with. You can pick the phone up when it's going really well, share that exciting moment. And then I think I've probably got an embarrassing story to tell, but you also need to be able to pick the phone up when you've got a real problem. And actually, that's the person that they're at the other end of the phone that you don't, just going to say, here's how it is. This is what I think is happening. What would you do? You had this experience before.
Okay, so let's explore this because, as Nettie said in the introduction, a lot of people don't actually understand exactly what a non-executive director is. So let's start with the boring bits first. What's the legal standing of a non-executive director?
Okay, so if you're a formal director on a company, it's the same as any other director, but actually it's the oversight. So you're not day-to-day, you don't know what's happening on a day-to-day basis, so you need to use your governance skills, your general business understanding to get an assessment of how well the others are actually working the business. So I think that's the important piece, if your name is above the door. I work with a lot of businesses where I'm not listed as a director at Companies House, and then you have to be quite careful that actually you're not what they call a shadow director. So e.g. you've got the responsibilities but not the information. But that just comes down to experience and people. I work with people.
Because there's been some changes in company law just in the last couple of years where you now have to list the people of influence in a company, which is some kind of thing that they invented to just try and catch people out.
There's some things we do need to know, though.
Yeah, for sure. So, as you say, even if you're not listed as a director, if you have influence in a business, you could fall under that kind of heading.
Okay, so
you're not involved in the day-to-day operation of the business. You're there in what I would call a kind of mentoring and information role. Is that fair?
Shall I give you a few headings? Actually I think it's the stories around the headings that matter more. It's working with the CEO. It can be a lonely role. Actually, the people I work with don't find it lonely because they know how to reach out to their networks and talk to other people. So for example, you're working with them and their team. So the management team, you know, it's really important. And that's how actually you get a better feel for what's actually happening on a day-to-day basis, is by talking to more and more of the team. Sometimes you're helping to spread the story, helping to get the message across, having an idea sometimes. Actually, there's an interpreter. Different people, different personalities say things in different ways, right. And someone will get it differently from someone else. So I think, you know, that's important. So that's the team. Strategic input, which, you know, the plan you talk about not having or having, I know you've got one in your head, so it's whether you've got it. What size your business is depends on, you know, what shape that plan needs to take. Supporting quality decision making. I think sometimes, you know, it's creating and helping a safe place where everybody's views can be brought forward. So it's amazing. I mean, not necessarily the businesses I work with, but I've been around the table where people are a little concerned at saying what they think. You know, actually, do I need to say what wants to be heard, or do I need to say what I think? You need to say what you think, even if it's daft, because you're thinking it and we can help you with that thought. So I'm always very keen on trying to bring out, you know, everybody's view.
It's that's an important point, isn't it? Because I've seen far too many organisations that claim that they want to know what's going on, but don't like it when you tell them. That can be limiting, because you don't hear what you need to hear. But obviously you've also got to be careful, because people close to a business can be negative about it without really having reason to be negative, if you see what I mean. So it's that delicate balance, isn't it, between hearing what you need to hear and not being swayed by stuff that's just silly.
And getting everyone's perspective doesn't mean you're trying to find out the negative either, does it? You really want everyone's opinion so that you can work on. That makes it rich. So helping, and also sometimes helping to make that decision. So what we're talking about here is, and well, what's stopping us making that decision? So, you know, that sort of conversation. So it's very, you know, straightforward. Working to help address problems early. So sometimes actually the outside eye, like myself, fresh eyes will say, oh, what about and how come and why? And sometimes you listen to the answer and think, okay, didn't know that or whatever, that's great. But actually sometimes it causes the, oh, yeah, that's something we hadn't thought of because you're so close to it.
I mean, would it be true? I mean, do you have a number of non-executive roles with different organisations? So that would strike me as being a massive benefit. apart from a benefit to you. Yeah.
I didn't mean it like that. They're all different and it's different people.
Yeah, but one of the things about having someone that has that breadth of exposure to other things is you can bring that in, yeah, because you may have faced similar type of things in another organisation and know how they solved the problem or remove the obstacle or whatever it is. You're gathering sponge-like information from different places.
Absolutely, and sometimes I'm listening to let's call it an issue or whatever, and I'm thinking I haven't got a clue, and I'll be chatting to somebody else confidentially. You know, this is what's happening. Have you encountered this circumstance?
Yeah,
I've got the time, which is fantastic. So,
yeah.
Sometimes you're just walking away with it yourself and thinking, okay, well, how do we deal with this?
Yeah, it must be an interesting thing to do in the world of work as well, as work. So as a non-executive director, what's your commitment to it? You know, how does that work? You know, because you're not involved in the day-to-day business. It strikes me, I'm a trustee of a couple of charities, for instance, and I think that's a fairly similar kind of role. Yeah, where we meet once every 3 months and discuss what's going on with that particular charity. We're not involved with the day-to-day running, but we take a kind of helicopter view of, or an umbrella view of the whole thing. Is that a similar kind of role for an NED?
It is, and it's different for each person. And I think that's probably why I wanted to speak about it today, because I think it's saying to businesses, whatever your size is, obviously I'm promoting the concept rather than myself, because it's important about the chemistry. But you know, ensure you have somebody. So mine will be some person, people will call me. Sometimes I'm in the email dialogue on a certain subject. There's regular meetings. Sometimes it's a monthly board meeting. Sometimes it's quarterly. And it just varies.
It's interesting, isn't it? If you look at the role that you have and things like mentors and personal coaches, a lot of people shy away from that because they feel it smacks of them not being able to do something. Yeah. which of course is true because most of us can't do everything. Well, I can, but, you know, other people, ordinary people can't.
Queen scale.
Yeah, exactly. I've got all the badges, mate.
Oh, yeah, apart from
the moonwalk. Yeah, which in 1964, when I became a Queen Scout, wasn't a thing. Yeah. anyway, but people shy away from that, and that's sad because experience and a sounding board and somebody to ask is a great thing to have in any business.
It is. So I was having a chat this morning. Not only was I at Rift, but I was also meeting Stefano, MD of Magnates, who, as you know, Fine Foods coming into Ashford soon, which is, you know, great. And they've got some expansion plans. But, you know, it's a relatively small to medium sized business. He's been working with non-exec type roles for quite a while. And I said, oh, tell me it in a nutshell. And he made me laugh. So he said, summing it up, he said, it's not expensive and it's a service you can literally move as and when you want to. So you could be employed, but even if you're employed, you're probably on a contract that has got no notice on it because it's appropriate to change as and when. It's no commitment. And
are you trying to tell me you're a zero-hour contract worker? Fair enough.
No, you're paid for what you do, but what I'm saying is it's not a long-term commitment.
Sure.
And that's great because it keeps everyone on their toes. And you can work in a consultant or a freelance perspective. It doesn't have to be X amount per year or X amount per day. So I think, you know, if you look at it like that way, what he said was actually in the early days for him, the biggest hurdle was actually understanding what value. I think he talked about actually having a grant from the council and thinking, well, here's some money and here's some people, and that's not what I want. What do I need? So he did that piece that I think, you know, everyone should do, which is sit down and say, what is it I'm trying to do that's different from the everyday? What are my challenges? Where do I want to be? And I think, you know, what we do is that sounding board. I know Bradley at Rift is, you know, he says it's a sounding board, and I think, you know, are you sure I'm still providing value for you? You know, so it's a very, very straightforward, you know, conversation. And he will say, you know, it's a sounding board. Sometimes, you know, I put something in front of you and actually you've got a question or you haven't got a challenge and actually it's okay. But I know then it's passed another test. It's passed an outside test.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because there's this kind of dichotomy between understanding the ins and outs of a business or an industry and being an outsider to it. And one of the interesting things as an entrepreneur, most of the businesses that I've got involved in, I knew nothing about what I was doing. And because I wasn't side blinded by how the industry's worked for 1,000 years, you disrupt it.
Yeah.
And you come along and disrupt it. So that outside view is actually very powerful because it gives you a view from outside of your industry, outside of your business, of how it's perceived in the marketplace by customers, users, people that interact with your business. So if someone with a general overview and business knowledge but an outsider's view can be very useful and very powerful.
Well, we were talking about it earlier, weren't we, Kathy? And it's this bit that people don't know where to go. The World and His Wife will look after a startup.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before, yeah, haven't we, absolutely, on the radio? But you get to a stage where you are successful to some extent, and now you need that help. And who do you contact? Where do you go? And I think this is where the NED role, you know, you may go to your accountant, you may go to various people, but we don't want you with the man in the pub.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that's frightening, in that, yeah, I think a lot of the NED role is misunderstood, in as much as it can be any size business. If you need that help, you know, you should go and get it.
Absolutely. It's like so many things, isn't it? You know, we've talked about this with young startup businesses, how they don't do things like take insurance and stuff like that because it costs too much money. Yeah, and you know, I'll get round to that at some point. Or they don't do articles of association, or they don't do a shareholders agreement when they start a business because it all costs money and it's all lawyers and it's all da da da. But if you don't do it then, You can't take out insurance after your house is burnt down. It just doesn't work, yeah? So they're false economies. And employing someone to help you on a short-term basis to figure your way through something is a very valuable thing to do, yeah? And, it, you know, it's so many people look at it as a cost, and it's actually an investment rather than a cost.
Kathy, what are you seeing at the minute as a trend? So you've got eyes in lots of pies, if you want to call it that way. What are you seeing that at the minute you're going, oh my gosh, each company is doing that, either whether it's a negative or positive, it doesn't, because whatever it is, it's still a way of moving the business forward. What are you seeing at the minute?
In a way, I suppose that nearly everybody that I'm working with is trying to grow or scale in some way. So I'm not sure it's going to give you an economic trend or anything, but I think the key thing invariably is we're working on something, we're moving it forward. Are we moving it forward as fast as we'd like to? And invariably that means that actually, much as you may have a wonderful team, there's a missing link or a piece of extra resource you could do it. And then again, a little bit like the, you know, the sort of non-exec, or as, you know, Nettie put it, that sort of help that would be invaluable to you when you start your business. It's saying, well, hold on, I don't have to commit to something large. I don't have to commit to a 3-month recruitment process. I don't have to do all these things. We will ask around and find, you know, somebody to help. So, you know, people who work in, more and more people, aren't they, these days work for themselves. And, you know, people will have space to do a 3-day project in the next month or one day a week or whatever it may take. And it's bolt in, bolt out, a little bit like the work that I do. So it's ensuring that you have enough resource to be able to solve your problem without it's either taking a long time for it to happen or causing you to have a long-term commitment.
Are you slowing people down in scalability? So that's what everybody wants, to go fast and we want to scale on. And actually, that's usually the death of a business, isn't it? Because of the speed. Are you adding a bit of a better tempo for them?
Well, it's interesting because actually I don't like to slow anything down. But I think it is just that, I suppose maybe it's a security blanket that you'd get with someone like myself or Nettie, in the respect that, okay, well, what about your cash flow? Okay, and what funding do we have? And where are your peaks and troughs? And they're all very simple questions, but people don't necessarily want to think about those, not necessarily used to forecasting forward, whereas that's, you know, that's our bread and butter. Is your cash balance the worst at the end of the month, or is it a few days later? And that's the sort of stuff, if you're expanding, can catch you out. So I wouldn't want to be slowing anything down, but it's just, I suppose, that reality check.
Cool. We could talk about this for a long time, but we're sadly approaching the end of the show. And I just want to make reference, because I played some cheesy tunage earlier in the show, so I wanted to try and pull those
things together. List?
Well, when I was doing some research on Kathy, I found that she'd been involved. Are you still involved?
I am, yes.
Yeah, you'd been the chief executive of the Lees Cliff Lift?
No. Well, shall I just go?
Yeah, go on.
So basically, as we all know, the much-loved and iconic lift has been closed since 2017. So Health and Safety came in and said, and they're a great bunch, we've met with them and understood what they were trying to achieve, that you can't rely on a manual brake on something like that with people's lives at risk. So they closed the lift down, or the CIC at the time closed the lift down, because they didn't have the funds to fix the braking system. So, I mean, steeped in heritage and engineering, and it's missed by those particularly who need it as a transport solution. So a board was set up a couple of years ago. I took over about a year ago as chair. And so that sort of sums it up. We completely volunteer board. So the lift needs 750,000 to just get it back up and running today.
Right.
So, you know, it started with, oh, it's an £80,000 brake solution. And, you know, it goes from there. And there's no shoes and champagne in that one, I'm afraid. But when you start to look at it a bit deeper, we don't want to be the group of people that puts it back and running and then 5 years from now, it's got a problem.
Yeah.
So that financial viability, sustainability is the big thing. And I thought, yeah, great, this is, you know, not easy, but, you know, you go into it and it's just, I mean, amazing. But actually, it's a building on the side of a cliff.
Yep.
And it's got all the weather issues. So there isn't actually that much space. And when you start to look at disabled access in and out. You
know, I mean, it's a Victorian construction, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's stunning. Yeah.
It is so sad.
Yes.
It is ridiculous that we are not injecting money into this heritage that is on the side of a cliff. It is beautiful.
So where we're at, we're working on a plan, which is nearly there. I can't wait to reveal it, to increase the footprint so that what we have is something that will hopefully be there for many generations to come and be self-funding going forward.
Fantastic.
We're on the route to what was called Heritage Lottery funding. And I can't get the acronym for the National Lottery. It's been rebranded Heritage Funding. So there's that, as well as other fundraising.
Right.
To go ahead, and it's, you know, it's a long haul, we would all like it sooner. On my basis of never wanting to slow anything down, we would like to have it all sooner rather than later. But I think we want to do it properly.
And the honesty of it is, if you don't do it sooner, it will cost more.
Yeah.
Because it's just sitting there, rotting. That would be the fair.
Well, we've been really lucky in that Jenners have continued each winter to winterproof it for us.
Good.
So good shout out for Jenners.
We had Jenners in yesterday.
Yeah, we did. Ella Bunker Bank was on. Yeah. Cool. Look, we're kind of at the end of the show. I just want to read this because I've just got a tweet in from Fundraising Works. And they said, Vanilla Webb, great to hear two of our friends, Martin Reeves and Kathy Beer, on your great show this afternoon. They do such wonderful jobs. And that's from Liz and Scott at Fundraising Works.
Oh,
so, Kathy, thank you so much for that.
Thank you
for joining us. Is there any way that people can find out more about what you do? Do you have a website or a Facebook page or anything like that?
So for me, I think the easiest is LinkedIn. So Kathy with a C and Vera with an E.
Yeah.
And for Lee's Lift, I mean, please do go and have a look. And if there's anything that you could offer us in the way of either money, support, skills, resource, and we are at www.leeslift.co.uk.
There is actually a link to the Leescliff website on the Kent Business Radio website, so if you want to check that out, just check the link. Kathy, thank you so much. Nettie, thank you for bringing us such an interesting guest again. I will go away and work on my moonwalking badge. do tune in.
And there's so many questions I wanted to ask.
I know, but we're at the end of the show. We're at the end of the show.
Sake,
I've got to go.
About everything.
No,
we've
got to go. No, you can't carry on. I've got to go. We've got to go. Tune in to the Bunker Extra show on Friday at 11 o'clock with Amanda and her co-host Julie Daniel and their mystery guests. But we're out of time now. We'll be back next week. See you all soon. Have a fantastic week.
Bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.